From South Carolina Public Radio, this is the South Carolina Lead. I'm your host, Gavin Jackson, and this episode was recorded on March 29th, 2024, South Carolina Public Radio Studios here in Columbia. This episode features the latest State House action around legislation dealing with making the Comptroller General an appointed position. A utility bill that would fast-track permitting of a natural gas line in the state, among other things, and a bill that would outlaw diversity, equity, and inclusion being used in hiring and admissions at public institutions of higher education. We hear from Senator Lindsey Graham, who was in Israel this week, and have a big update on the first congressional district map that has been in legal limbo for years. Oh, remember, guys, we only have one episode next week. We're not going to tell you which day it's going to drop, Tuesday, but look for it. Just because we're taking a break doesn't mean that you get to take a break. You have to keep listening. You still have duties to listen to this podcast. Speaking of duties, we need more voices in our mailbox. 803-563-7169. That's how you do that. You call that number while you're driving, while you're walking, while you're doing anything. Maybe you're having a conversation with a friend. You want to record it. Call that phone number, play the whole conversation, and we'll say who's right or wrong. 803-563-7169. We'd love hearing from you guys. Give us a shout. Let's look at some of the big bills that move this week as we continue our descent into March Madness. The Senate easily passed its joint resolution S-95 unanimously. That legislation would make the state comptroller general a position appointed by the governor and no longer elected by the people every 4 years with other constitutional officers. This comes after the accounting error dealing with billions of dollars of taxpayer dollars that came to light last year, prompting the resignation of Comptroller General Richard Ekstrom. The joint resolution, if passed by the House, would put the question to remove the Comptroller General from the Constitution before voters this fall.
Wow.
A joint resolution is different than a bill, and when used to propose a constitutional change, it does not require the governor's signature. That $3.5 billion accounting error, in which no money is missing, uncovered $1.8 billion that has been sitting in an account, accruing interest, that hasn't been accounted for. High interest rates actually kind of work here, guys. Now, Senator Larry Grooms, who oversees a subcommittee investigating the issue, spoke with reporters on Tuesday following the passage of the legislation and said moving to appoint the treasurer could be next.
We got the resolution passed today. If it had been entangled with the state treasurer, we would be in extended debate right now, and the question would be unanswered as to whether we would have any constitutional questions. That's why some members preferred to withhold any type of judgment or policy decisions regarding the treasurer until our investigation with the subcommittee is complete. And with our comptroller general and even with our treasurer, those are accountants, your bank president. Those are professional folks, and politics really shouldn't come into play. People prefer their accountants not to be crusaders. Crusaders are the ones that take up a charge, take up an issue, work it, get it passed. That should not be the role of a comptroller or the role of a treasurer. They should be the ones that ensure the integrity of our state's books, that we know where our money is, and that we can have confidence in the accounting reports. That's their job, not to be crusaders.
Charleston Republican Senator Chip Campson said that unlike the failed attempt to have the superintendent of education appointed by the governor in 2018, there is more motivation to do this with the comptroller general position.
First of all, the difference between like the superintendent of education and the comptroller general is superintendent of education makes a lot of policy decisions. The comptroller general really makes no policy decisions. They're like your accountant. They balance the books. They make sure they're supposed to make sure the books are balanced. And so it's not a policy-making position. It's really a ministerial position. And when it came to the superintendent of education, there was a big, she had a built-in, or that office had a built-in support group when it comes to teachers. I mean, the teachers really came out in force to to keep that as a constitutional office to vote against that proposed amendment. That's not going to happen if Comptroller General. There is no constituency really out there for Comptroller General like there is for a Superintendent of Education. Yes, I do. And I think it's the wise thing to do. I mean, we've missing $3.8 billion, not missing, but not properly accounted for. And that ought to be a motivating factor for citizens, because that's all they know about the Comptroller General is that the money that was not properly accounted for.
Let's scoot across the hall to the House.
Okay, let's go.
Where two big bills moved through the chamber on Wednesday ahead of spring break next week. See, we're not the only ones on spring break, guys. The first bill, H 5118, was House Speaker Merle Smith's baby. We could call it that. Yeah. It's dealing with securing sufficient power generation for the state. The Russ McKinney keeps up on all things utility-related and wrote this in his story. The bill calls for the streamlining of the approval process by state regulators for new energy generation. It also encourages utilities to embrace all forms of potential generation as they move away from operating coal-powered facilities. Specifically, the bill authorizes state-owned utility Santee Cooper to partner with Dominion Energy, a match made in heaven, for the construction of a 2,000-megawatt combined cycle gas plant at the site of Dominion's closed coal plant near Carlton County. I don't know how to say it. Kennedy's? Energy conservation groups who are opposed to the fast-tracking bill maintain that such a clear legislative directive is reminiscent of the infamous 2007 Baseload Review Act. The ghost of that now-defunct law still haunts energy debates. Russ continues, saying, many maintain it allowed the disastrous VC Summer nuclear project in Fairfield County to occur. Senate Majority Leader Shane Massey, who is from Edgefield, recently seemed lukewarm to some of the proposed regulatory changes contained in the bill. He and Senator Nikki Setzler, a Democrat from Lexington, spearheaded reform legislation in the Senate following the VC Summer debacle. Boondoggle. Massey said, quote, I am suspicious of efforts to roll back the regulatory protections that were put in place just a few years ago. Now, the bill also shrinks the Public Service Commission, which regulates utilities, from 7 members to 3. Proponents say this will allow for better qualified candidates to be paid more. Opponents say that this limits the legislature's oversight and ability to select candidates from each congressional district. This complex legislation passed 88-21 in the House, closely along party lines, and now heads to the Senate. After the vote, Chapin Republican Nathan Ballantyne submitted the following statement to the House Journal, quote, after the billion-dollar nightmare the Midlands and our state experienced a few years ago as a result of enabling legislation similar to this one, I could not in good conscience support any amendments or the bill today. I'm reminded of the saying, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on me. That was Nathan Ballantyne in the House Journal. The second big bill in the House that drove debate on Wednesday was H 4289. It dealt with diversity, equity, and inclusion, or DEI, which has become a major issue for House Republicans since members of the far-right House Freedom Caucus slowed the budget process last year by proposing amendment after amendment dealing with the issue related to universities and colleges in the state during that budget debate. Now, hijacking the budget floor debate in an attempt to pass legislation is frowned upon.
Wow.
And not really how it's done.
Interesting.
Though politically based provisos do make it in the budget from time to time, but a budget proviso only lives for a year. You have to pass it every year if you want it to stick. Now, as a way to end the process and move the budget and advance this red meat issue, the House Education Committee tackled legislation dealing with DEI through the normal legislative process to develop a bill that passed the House on Wednesday, which would remove any DEI from admissions or hiring practices at public institutions of higher education. Myrtle Beach Republican Representative Tim McGinnis sponsored the legislation and spoke about the committee amendment before the House.
We also tried to keep the interests of our universities at heart when we drafted the amendment, and we want to continue to see our institutions succeed and remain competitive. We've drafted this amendment to help ensure that in the state of South Carolina, everyone can be treated equally, regardless of their background or their beliefs. I'm going to repeat that. Everyone can be treated equally regardless of their background or their beliefs in the state of South Carolina. Therefore, this amendment prohibits preferential treatment based on group identity. This amendment prohibits a public institution of higher learning from taking or requiring a diversity statement for student admission to the institution, as well as prohibits faculty and employee diversity statements when the institution is considering whether to hire or promote someone. The amendment prohibits mandatory diversity training for faculty and employees at an institution. It also makes clear if an institution receives a promise or declaration regarding DEI or other associated political issues, it may not promote or engage in differential treatment based on the opinions expressed in that promise or declaration. The amendment prohibits an institution from infringing on a student, faculty member, or employee's First Amendment right to free speech. That's very important. No viewpoint discrimination.
Cloture was invoked on the bill, which limited the number of amendments that could be proposed and how long debate on those amendments and the bill itself would last. Multiple amendments were put up by Democrats, but were shot down by the Republican majority. Hopkins Democratic Representative Jermaine Johnson proposed several amendments to the bill, all of which were voted down.
You know, I'm a little perplexed by, you know, the fact that we're even going over the stuff here. And it's almost like individuals who claim to support education but have not been in a school or a classroom or anywhere in 20, 30 years. You know, and you know, it's one of those things where I believe you need to leave what's going on in the institutions up to the people that have been hired to do so. And we talk about less government all the time, but when are we going to apply less government? When are we ever going to apply less government? We continue to meddle in the business of everything else here.
There were no people of color that were involved in crafting this bill, according to Representative Johnson. He also mentioned that there is no clear definition of what DEI is, which is reminiscent of the critical race theory debates. While discussing one of the amendments with Columbia Democratic Representative Leon Howard, who is also black, he gave an example of the importance of having diverse voices in the room. Take a listen, and just a heads up, they do use a racial epithet in this exchange.
Now, Mr. Johnson, as you talk about college-educated African-Americans on campus, do you not know that the definition of a coon is racist and offensive to black people?
100%, absolutely. And I've been called that many times in my day.
Well, where I'm going with that is that here in this body, I had the pleasure of talking to about five of my colleagues who did not know that. And they were in the process of introducing legislation to have a coon license tag. Now, and I informed them that that was going to be a pretty bad situation. We was going to have the Confederate battle flag battle all over again.
Yes.
And that they shouldn't do that. And they just didn't know. They weren't being racist. They did not know. So as we talk about diversity and inclusion, Mr. King, we're talking about educating people who may not be educated on issues that they're not exposed to.
House Freedom Caucus Chairman Adam Morgan, a Republican from Greenville, spoke in favor of the bill.
The question in my mind is a simple one of what we really are doing here today. We're asking a question of what should our tax dollars be spent on? Because what we spend our money on reflects our values. And the question is, does that statement reflect South Carolina values? The only remedy to past discrimination is present discrimination. I heard a lot of discussion about different issues, and I get it. A lot of them are things that are talked in the media, they're discussed, they're hot button issues about what might be in this bill or what might be motivating the bill. But I would simply go back to and point and say, read the bill. What does the bill actually do? It doesn't have anything to do with what's taught, what history is being taught. It doesn't have anything to do with banning diversity offices. It's just simply not in the legislation. The legislation specifically and directly deals with discrimination.
After 4 hours of debate and procedural moves, the bill passed along party lines 84-30 and now heads to the Senate, where its future is uncertain. Remember, this needs to go through the committee process and then get on the calendar, which can be blocked by anyone's senator unless it gets moved to special order. And with 6 weeks left, it will be a scramble to say the least, especially as the budget is getting ready to drop over in the Senate. Now, like we said, the House will be on recess next week, and so is Congress.
Fun!
Congress was on recess this week and next week as well, like I said. So I have a conversation with Democratic Congressman Jim Clyburn and Republican Congresswoman Nancy Mace that we will air as our episode next week. That's a tease. Look for that. Now, I will say we did try to speak with Senator Lindsey Graham this week, but he was in Israel, where he met with Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. Graham was on Twitter with multiple videos from his visit to the country that continues its fight against Palestinians in Gaza, and after the United States abstained from a UN Security Council resolution calling for a ceasefire. The resolution passed the council, upsetting the Israelis, prompting the cancellation of a visit by Netanyahu to D.C., and he was set to address Congress here. Now, here's a bit of what Graham posted on Twitter with Prime Minister Netanyahu introducing him here.
I'm happy to welcome a good friend of mine and a great friend of Israel, Senator Lindsey Graham. Lindsey, it's good to see you again.
Thank you, Mr. Prime Minister.
Thank you for your consistent support at all times and especially in these trying times.
Thank you. Well, this is my fifth visit, I think, since October the 7th. Mm-hmm. I'm here for a reason, to show support to you, my good friend, the elected leader of the state of Israel. I have known you for almost 30 years now. I met you through our good friend, John McCain. And I'm here to tell you that I have your back and your country's back. I'm here also to take on, and I will talk about this tomorrow, a form of blood libel in 2024, that the state of Israel is using starvation as a weapon of war. That is bullshit. And I will tomorrow walk through the food that's coming into Gaza and what you're doing to make sure that people in Gaza do not starve. So Israel is got its back against the wall. We have your back. To the civilized world, if these battalions are still standing when this is over, it would be the biggest mistake maybe in history. I will say it again. If these battalions are still standing after the murder of the Jewish people, it would be the biggest mistake in history. Iran would celebrate. It is non-negotiable. Here's my advice to you and your country. Get on with it. Destroy these battalions. Take care of civilians the best you can.
We have some breaking election news. Friend of the pod, Associated Press, national politics reporter Meg Kennard reports that a federal court on Thursday ruled that this year's congressional elections in South Carolina will be held under a map that it had already deemed unconstitutional and discriminatory against black voters, with time running out ahead of voting deadlines and a lack of a decision on the case by the U.S. Supreme Court. Meg's report continues saying, in an order, a panel of three federal judges from South Carolina wrote that, quote, with the primary election procedures rapidly approaching, the appeal before the Supreme Court still pending, and no remedial plan in place, the ideal must bend to the practical, quote. South Carolina's primary elections are June 11th, and early voting starts May 28th. Now, this case hinges on South Carolina's 1st congressional district, currently held by Republican Representative Nancy Mace. Last year, the same three-judge panel ordered South Carolina to redraw the district, which runs from Charleston to Hilton Head Island, after finding that the state used race as a proxy for partisan affiliation in violation of the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment to the Constitution. That was Meg Kennard's report there. Now, we were at the U.S. Supreme Court last October to hear those arguments and are still waiting for that ruling, hence this lower court decision. Come on, guys. If these pods don't produce themselves. That's a unanimous decision from Gavin. Now, on April 1st, at noon, filing for state and federal offices closes. And we will see who has a date on June 11th's primary and or a general election challenge come November. We'll recount the biggest races when we return from break. Now, from what I've seen so far, it's going to be spicy, y'all. You thought I was done? Not. Stop. We got a quick economic update for you on the way out.
Econ Pod.
South Carolina's unemployment rate ticked up to 3.1% in February.
Wow.
That's how you say it, February, from 3% in January. I'm keeping that in there. Keeping it in there, folks. The South Carolina Department of Employment and Workforce Executive Director William Floyd said in a statement, quote, with an approximate gain of 500 people in manufacturing, 2,000 in trade, transportation, and utilities, and 1,500 in leisure and hospitality, the economy continues to grow, and so does the workforce, quote. Job declines occurred in professional and business services and financial activities. I was looking for a job and then I found a job. That's Morrissey right there, folks. You can find jobs at do.sc.gov, though. Check it out. Welcome to the wind down section. Our little break from the news. We're glad you're here. This is our time to talk about things not news related, but sometimes that happens. AT Shire, producer of the pod.
Yes, it's true. I love when he tails off and gets quiet as a producer.
I run out of air.
When I have to turn him up constantly so you all can hear him. Oh, I love
that.
Well,
you know, I was inspired by my one of my icons, Morrissey. So.
Morrissey, yeah. Well, it was just a problematic icon at best. Gavin does, I would say,
only the good. I want the good.
He co-signs everything Morrissey has ever said, okay?
Girlfriend in a coma.
Yeah, girlfriend. Yeah. The first time I heard the song Girlfriend in a Coma, I called Gavin and I go, did you ever hear this song? And he goes, yeah, of course. I was like, what?
All of his lyrics are incredible.
No. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah. I was looking for a job.
And then I found a job.
Wow. The voice of a generation. Yeah. An absolute songbird for the ages.
There's some problematic lyrics.
Yeah. A lot. Okay.
The Smiths. How soon is now?
The Smiths.
The whole song.
The Smiths better than Morrissey, but still problematic.
Well, I mean,
guy.
He was. He was.
He is. He remains one to this day. Anyway, Gavin. Oh,
okay, what's going on? What's going on?
We have a duty remaining to this day to air the voicemails of our listeners, new and old. Okay, Gavin?
The voice of a generation.
Many generations, according to this next call. I'm inferring this, okay?
Hey.
And we can get into this afterwards. So, Gavin, are you ready for this call?
Yes.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, hi, my name is Adrian.
Where are you from?
I am from South Carolina. I'm from Greenville, South Carolina. I just wanted to say that I've only heard one episode and I already love it. It is amazing. I just wanted to say that I really like it. And bye.
Wait. Tell how old you are and what you said about Gavin.
You
felt sorry for me.
Oh, yeah. Also, I kind of feel sorry for Gavin because he has to, like, he's, like, so lonely, but at wind-down time, he always, like, he actually talks to other people because he always has to use, like, fake names, like, things, like, wow, it's a place, so I feel really bad. Anyway, yeah, bye!
Adrian from #Yeah That Greenville. Hello. Thank you for calling. She's only heard one episode. She's already hooked. Tell your friends, Adrian.
I would
say
one episode, one call.
Yeah.
That's a great ratio.
Incredible.
The
ROI right there.
Yeah. You listeners should really learn a thing or two from Adrian. And I would say maybe Gen Alpha.
Maybe.
Sounds young.
Very young.
Sounding young.
And I'm also glad that she's taking pity on me. You also take pity on me, AT.
That's
why you put the sound effects in there.
So
I'm not alone.
Gavin.
But I'm very much alone, yes.
Gavin,
thank you for cutting to the core of me.
Gavin loves to ask a rhetorical question. And so I was sitting in my office one day and I was like, you know what? I'm answering all of these questions.
There we go. Yeah. See, that's the power of a producer right there,
yeah,
folks.
Yeah, I can make him say anything, which is just basically read Morrissey lyrics.
So you and I were also doing Pledge Drive this week. If you guys listen to South Carolina Public Radio and you donated this week, thank you so much. We love y'all. If you didn't donate this week,
come on.
Stop.
Come on.
Stop and think about what you've been doing.
Hey, I know that we're a big hit in the billionaire and millionaire communities.
Yes.
And so I'm like, people, come on.
I mean,
open
do it for the sticker.
Wallets.
$50, you get the sticker, you put it on your car. I have all the stickers.
Gavin loves the stickers.
The sticker. It's, you know, it's just what it is. But, AT, this whole past 2 weeks during Pledge, we have all this food that floats through radio to keep everyone going, you know, amped up. And you know me, we were just talking about me and my food scavenging habits.
You know,
I love that. I live off the land. But now it's getting to the point where I'm like, okay, guys, stop putting donuts in front of my face. Stop putting all these goodies that I don't normally eat because they're not good for you.
Goodies, I would say, is a stretch.
The chicken pot pie the other day was very exciting.
It was a slop. It was all
so
liquid. It was all chicken pot, no pie.
But today
was
about two dozen duck donuts, and I said, please, no.
Satan, stop tempting me. Yeah.
Yeah, I had one. I was like, stop it.
Sugar's not
good for you.
Yeah, I'm not a donut guy, really. But Gavin, you should have seen the heaping plate of lasagna that he built for himself yesterday. I mean, it was monumental. It reached to the sky. It looked like Richard Dreyfuss did in Close Encounters with the Mashed Potatoes.
I mean, I was really putting that hefty paper plates are
hefty,
so strong
hefty,
and durable
yeah.
to the test.
It didn't bend.
I was taking it with one side.
It didn't bend.
I put some salad on there.
It was a little greenage, but it was. I would say if you weighed it, it was going to be 3.5 pounds and 2.5 of it. No, probably 3 pounds of lasagna.
Now that you bring it up, I feel kind of bad because I went to my aunt's office and she's talking about stuff and I'm just standing there just like
slamming lasagna in
best,
her face.
Doing my best not to get it on myself and like also like, oh, mm-hmm, uh-huh, mm-hmm, uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
She was in the splash zone. She put a poncho on. It's like a Gallagher show.
And like, I'm in a suit. I'm like, don't get on yourself. You're a big boy
now. Not so fast.
But you had something you wanted to talk about.
Yeah, I feel like I've been wronged in a serious way.
We've come to the right place, my friend.
Yes, and I needed to know if I'm overreacting or if you think that I'm in the right here, okay? So when I go to the bathroom, okay, I'm a very orderly person in the bathroom because I'm trying to get in and get out.
Of course.
You know?
No linger.
So when I go to wash my hands, I pre-shoot a paper towel out, okay? I pre-shoot the paper towel out. There was someone already washing their hands, okay?
I know where this is going.
And I was washing my hands. They saw me shoot the paper towel out, and they took my paper towel and didn't shoot a new one out.
Did they say thank you?
No. Oh, they didn't they didn't replenish.
So you paid it forward inadvertently.
And I turn around when they're gone and I was like
sopping wet hands.
I was like, what? That guy stole my paper towel.
That's altruism, AT.
Oh, I hated
it.
That's
volunteering without it saying that you were volunteering.
I really feel like
you were wrong. I agree.
This was a Seinfeld scenario.
And I will say the kicker here too is that there are multiple ways to dry your hand in the bathroom.
He had one next to him on the other side.
Spencer, yeah.
Exactly.
This was not the only one.
He pivoted to the one that I had shot out already and took it and didn't replenish.
Not even a thank you. That's the kicker.
No,
for me.
No. I love having a conversation in the bathroom. So.
I really don't. Speaking of bathroom, since we're already there,
love that.
Since we're already here.
Yeah, great pivot.
We've talked about this before, and I've just seen insanity in practice.
I'm ready for this.
In and out. The people that put the soap on their hands before getting the hands wet.
The dry soaping, yeah.
I don't know how that works. I think we've talked about this before. It might be a fallout from COVID where you put in, like, you know, the Purell on your hands.
But it shoots out automatically.
How do you...
And the faucet turns on automatically.
I don't know how you're... I don't take a bar of soap and start rubbing my hands with it before I put water on
there. Yeah, you probably start a fire. You know what I mean? It's not safe to do that indoors.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
Are you crazy? It's basically how matches are made.
Glycerin. Yeah, but no one, you know, there's also the air dryer in there too, but no one uses
I don't use air dryers. I'm a staunch anti-air dryer. Yeah. I mean, it's just cycling bathroom air faster on your hands. Like, I just worked to wash them. I'm not trying to robot fart
back
on
there.
Yeah. A little too clean, you know? A little too clean.
And then you gotta just do the wipe on the shirt. And you're like, great.
Anyway,
this is
people,
terrific. Tell us about your hand habits in the bathroom.
Call us from the bathroom, please. I hope that this conversation really carries you into spring break, okay?
Please.
Carries you into spring break.
Tell us about some funnies from the bathroom. I wish my brother Nick would call because he has a good one, but he's probably just, he's like, oh my God, don't say my name on air right now.
His name's Nick and he doesn't call. So that's all you need to know. And
like so many of you.
Yeah, be more like Adrian. Please call. Gavin, hit him with the outro. Hit him with the number.
There's the outro.
So well.
Let me hit that button.
Yeah, F in the chat.
F.
For respect.
Thank you, Adrian, for calling. Be like Adrian. Give us a shout at 803-563-7169. You can always leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, too, if you don't want to talk to us. We won't take it personally. You can also stay up to date with the latest news on scetv.org and southcarolinapublicradio.org. And don't forget to support your local newspapers. For the South Carolina Lead, I'm Gavin Jackson. Be well, South Carolina.
Did you get bit by a vampire blade, too?
How does he keep... So he has to keep getting blood transfusions, right?
So he doesn't drink the blood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How does he keep that up?
Well, he's a day walker, okay? He's a day walker. Chris Christopherson helps him. So there you go.